Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is high-tech, high-touch. Each of my guests is discussing a subject matter that is either high-tech or highly personal connection. My first guest is president of the National Academy of Television Arts and Sciences in New York. He's also a pioneer in the field of internet technologies. We'll tackle the debate over 4G versus 3G when it comes to mobile phones and other technology subjects. My second guest is the CEO of DMG Incorporated, a strategic and communications consultancy, and he's also a partner in the Core Strategy Group. We'll discuss using the power of insurgent strategy to put your business on top from his book, The Underdog Advantage, and relate it to Microsoft's recent purchase of Skype. My third guest is former NBA basketball great who brings his high-touch approach to helping college-age kids prepare for life. He's the director of College Success Foundation and the author of the book, Standing Above the Crowd. We'll discuss executing a game plan to become the best you can possibly be. And as always, you can join the conversation by calling us at 639-0008. My first guest, Shelley Palmer, is host of NBC Universal's weekly show, Live Digital. He's a Fox 5, that's WNYW-TV New York, tech expert, and he's the host of Media Bytes, a daily syndicated radio segment on the biggest stories in technology, media, and entertainment. Joining us from New York City is Shelley. Hi, Shelley. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, thank you so much for being our guest today, because I really need you to help unconfuse me. I'm confused, as I bet many of my listeners are, about the 4G mobile phone service. You know, the providers, they're flooding the airwaves with commercials. They're treating their particular brand of 4G service and bashing the competition.
Yep.
And, you know, let's start with a fundamental question. Is 4G service necessary for most users?
Well, I think we have to start with a more fundamental question, which is what is 4G?
Okay.
Because actually it's a marketing term, not a term of art and not a technical term. 3G is a defined standard, worldwide standard. But 4G is just a marketing term and means different things to different people. There are different flavors of 4G. Sprint has WiMAX. Verizon and AT&T use a system called LTE, which is an abbreviation for long-term evolution, which means nothing to anybody. As it turns out, in the markets where Verizon is fully deployed, their 4G is absolutely real 4G, which is 6 to 10 times faster than 3G. Where AT&T is deployed in a couple of their markets, and we're talking a couple as in two or three,
right.
They have a backhaul which does allow you to have real 4G connectivity and real speeds that are, in fact, 6 to 10 times faster than 3G.
Wow.
But in the rest of the AT&T market, not so much. So where big companies are advertising 4G, let the buyer beware. Now, you've asked a very important question. Does the average person need 4G? Do you have the need for speed? Let's talk about where it is beneficial and where it isn't beneficial. First of all, if you're browsing the web, if you're connecting to the internet and needing to get stuff from a remote location, like a movie, like a song, like just downloading a website that has a lot of pictures on it that you want to work with, 4G is going to be really important to you because it's 6 to 10 times faster than 3G, and you will really see the speed.
Mm-hmm.
From a technological standpoint, a 3G download could be 1.5 megabits per second. That would be a great one, a megabit per second would be a great one.
Right.
You're talking 30 megabits per second, 20 megabits per second downloads in a 4G environment that's really all hooked up. It's way, 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 way faster. Now, here's the important part. 4G phones in 2011 use an awful lot of battery because they're looking for 4G networks all the time. And when they don't see a 4G network, they're looking. They'll fall back to the 3G network, which is the one that's it's most used to having and it's capable of connecting to also. But it's always sniffing out 4G, which means it's very battery intensive. Now, you can turn that feature off in many phones, but then why did you bother to buy a 4G phone if you're going to turn it off? Some people will argue with me and say, well, I can easily turn off the 4G network when I'm only going to be using it for email and I'm only going to be using it to talk on the phone and text message, and it's very easy to turn the 4G radio back on when I know I want to be browsing the internet. This is all true. But even so, these phones are traditionally, and I'm traditionally meaning in the last 6 months with the new tradition, they are faster processor phones. They have more hardware, and they have better, bigger screens. Now, faster processors with more random access memory and brighter, bigger screens mean one thing and one thing only, shorter battery life. So when you combine that with the fact that they'll be seeking the network, I just had a friend of mine tell me that she returned for a $35 restocking charge her Verizon HTC Thunderbolt, which she loved because the battery at best lasted 4 hours and
wow.
The extended battery was $55 and she didn't want to spend it. Now, I thought that was a little weird that she spent $35 to get the phone back as opposed to $55 for an extended battery, but that's a different conversation for a different mindset. I'm just saying, not everybody's rational about this. You will need an extended battery with your 4G phone. And on ShellyPalmer.com, my website, we go over bandwidth versus battery life in a pretty nice way. You can just Google Shelley Palmer and bandwidth and battery life, or just go to ShellyPalmer.com and search in our search box. And you'll be able to find, very easily, you'll be able to find all the information you need about really what the phones are that are out there, what the phone plans are that are out there, everything you want to know about the iPhone, iPhone 4, what's coming. We've taken taken great pains to make this as simple and as straightforward as possible with just the facts and not a whole lot of opinion.
Oh, we're talking to Shelley Palmer. Shelley, you've got my brain racing with questions, but let's start with the money question. We talk about faster processors, obviously bigger, brighter screens, more RAM, and that kind of stuff. To me, that translates into more money. So what are we looking at for a 4G phone versus a 3G phone in terms of the price delta? And then what's the price delta between 3G and 4G on your month-to-month service?
Precious little. The HTC Thunderbolt came out, which was the Verizon phone, came out at $249. I saw it for $125 last week on special. Depends on whether you're re-upping your contract, signing up for 2 years. Look, you can get a free phone, right? So this is not the price is between free and having to pay something. For $49, you can have an iPhone 3GS. They have some left in stock at AT&T. I mean, you can have phones for very little money. But I think if you're a consumer, you need to think about what it is that you will benefit from, not what the newest, brightest, shiny object is. I have a new book that's actually came out today. It's called Overcoming the Digital Divide, How to Use Social Media and Digital Tools to Reinvent Yourself and Your Career. And it's on Amazon, Overcoming the Digital Divide. You can also just type in Shelley Palmer and get it. But the book really talks about how you deal with all this complex new technology coming out every single day, and where do you put yourself in the middle of this, and how do you navigate a very tough world? How do you overcome the digital divide? You get somebody who walks in the room with the newest, greatest, shiny object. You got a phone from 4 years ago. You don't have a tablet. You have a laptop. They have a tablet. They don't have a laptop. Like, where do you sit in that, and what should you buy, and when should you buy it? Because a new laptop's coming out tomorrow. A new tablet's coming out tomorrow, and, of course, a new phone is coming out tomorrow. So what you have to think about as a consumer is what is the benefit you're looking for? Email? Text messaging, talking on the phone, browsing the web, those are the four functions that people use the most. And people start to like to talk about apps, right? Oh, well, there's 300,000 apps available for the iPhone and only a couple hundred thousand apps available for Android. All of that is meaningless. You don't use 300,000 apps. You just don't. You use a couple. What do you use? You're
going to
use the
Birds.
Weather Channel, right? You're going to use Fandango if you buy movie tickets. You may use a stock pricing app. You may use an online banking app because all the better banks have great online mobile banking. So all that's available for every phone. The question is, what do you really need?
All right, we're talking to Shelley Palmer now, I just discovered, author of the new book that just came out today, Overcoming the Digital Divide, and also he is the host of the weekly show Live Digital. Shelley, that's a very cogent answer to my question, really simplifies the overall 4G versus 3G issue, but sort of related to 4G. What's the impact going to be of the AT&T acquisition of T-Mobile on the wireless market? Now, this may just be me, but it appeared to me that T-Mobile was really bashing AT&T hard in their television commercials about 4G, and so AT&T just decided to buy them out to take them out of the competition.
Well,
true or false?
Almost. true, they were bashing them because, after all, it's a blood sport.
Right.
Advertising is a blood sport. My
right.
network's better than yours. Really? There's a map for that. No, my network's better than yours. Believe me, it's a blood sport. So, and they're all, if you want to know who's really right and who's really lying, go to broadband.gov. That's a site by the FCC, and it will show you the overlap maps of all of the coverage for all the networks. Regardless of what they tell you, the FCC has it actually mapped, and since they're licensed frequencies, you know broadband.gov is accurate. Now, with respect to T-Mobile and AT&T, first of all, it's got to get through the DOJ, Department of Justice,
right.
for its approval.
Mm-hmm.
T-Mobile had lost its way so terribly. There was a time, not so long ago, 5 years ago, 4 years ago, pretty much pre-iPhone, where T-Mobile had the sidekick, they had the hot new phone always, they were the darling of teenagers who were urban, who didn't have to travel much, where they had decent coverage and a lot of features. They were the darling of ringtone manufacturers because the network was more open and easier to deal with. T-Mobile, once smartphones and app phones hit the market, really lost their way. They lost their market share. They were no longer the cool kid on the block. All they could do is stand for price, and they were competing on a stand-for-price war with Sprint, who now also can only stand for price. No matter what they tell you, it's just cheaper. It's not better. There's nothing about Sprint that's better than Verizon. There's nothing about Sprint that's better than AT&T. It's just less money. And T-Mobile is in the same spot. T-Mobile has a very large installed base of people who use the phone systems, and the phone systems are, in fact, compatible with AT&T's. It was a really good strategic purchase for AT&T, and had nothing whatsoever to do with the consumer perception of their advertising. This is a backroom purchase that increases AT&T's capability and makes it, on a subscriber base and also technology base, a much more formidable competitor to Verizon, which is what they're hoping to do. And by the way, so much more formidable that they are going to have to go through a Department of Justice sort of antitrust look. Like, is this going to be too much of a big thing? Is this too much monopolizing? Are we now making too few phone companies? Is this going to hurt competition?
Look is too soft a word. It would be more like an inquisition. We're talking to Shelley Palmer, everybody, host of NBC Universal's weekly show Live Digital, and now author of the book Overcoming the Digital Divide. Shelley, going to change gears and play into your strength with your latest book and talk about ebook readers. Fancy toy or a necessary tool? Let's compare the various models of ebook readers that are out there. What are kind of the pros and cons of each? We've got the Apple iPad, the Nook, the Vook, the Kindle, and the IREX, just to name a few.
Mm-hmm.
Is this thing really necessary? Are we all going to move to ebook readers? And I'll just tell you a quick story. Bought for my wife's birthday an iPad, an Apple iPad 2. Never thought she would read books on it. And lo and behold, now she's starting to read books on it, which I thought would never happen. Are they a necessary tool in the modern world or just a fancy I gotcha status symbol?
You know, that's a great question, and I think I can answer it for you with a very short kind of description of the benefits of each. E-readers, classic e-readers, the Kindle and the e-ink-based Sony e-readers and Nook, the e-ink versions, are not backlit displays. They only have 16 shades of gray. Battery life is measured in thousands of page turns, not in hours. And they need light. You need to have a light, a reading lamp, just like a regular reading lamp. And they hold around 1,500 to 3,000 books, depending on which model you buy. They're relatively inexpensive. A Kindle is $139 for Wi-Fi only, and with the 3G radio in it, it's $189. It is a very emotionally satisfying experience for reading a book. It is a relatively cheap storage device for thousands, with an S, of books. People who like to read a lot, people who read a lot of contracts for work, like lawyers, people who read a lot of documents for work, like the fact that you can put PDF files into Kindles, you can take e-books. I have a stack by my bed, or used to, I should say, prior to my getting a Kindle a couple of years ago, it was about 45 books high. Constantly, I'm a bookstore goer. Love books. Love to have them. Love physical books. I have a huge library.
Hear, hear.
And they were all on my going to get to read list. But I travel a lot. I'm on 3 airplanes a week. And there's a limit to how many 700-page books you can carry with you in your briefcase with the rest of your Road Warrior kit, right?
All right.
With my Kindle, I rebought every single book. Didn't cost me that much. I have been through, I probably read 5 times the amount of things I would have gotten to read before I got the Kindle. So as a voracious reader who loves to read but was hindered by the physical size of books, the e-reader made me read more and allows me to literally be reading something on my Kindle, then go, I'm in a cab and I have a few minutes and I'm in a traffic jam. I can take out my iPhone or my Android phone and keep reading. When I come back to my Kindle, I'm on the same page where I left it on the Android phone.
Wow.
It is a fantastic experience across the board. Works with your computer, works with your... You can go get your Kindle app for any of your smartphones. You can get a Kindle app for your computer or the Kindle itself. Now, let's talk about the tablet computers. The difference between any tablet computer that is backlit and has a VGA or better display on it is that it is a good old-fashioned computer screen or slightly better than a computer screen, but it's got a backlight. Now, this is harder on your eyes over time. What's the advantage? If you're laying in bed next to your significant other at night, instead of having a light on, it's backlit. And if you turn you dim it down a little bit, and you rest it on a pillow and you read, you can have a very nice backlit experience. But if you're out at the beach or outside and you want to read at lunch, it's harder to read something that's backlit because the contrast isn't as good as the e-ink. But, and this is a big but, all iPads are e-readers. All e-readers are not iPads. And to say that in a different way, all tablets are e-readers. All e-readers are not tablets. The Color Nook is a kind of a poor man's iPad. It's very inexpensive, $250, smaller screen, but has some tablet-like features. The iPad is not a computer. It's not an e-reader. It's an iPad. It does only what it does, which is everything the apps empower to do. You don't know how much RAM or ROM is in there. You don't know how much computer power is in there. You know what you know? If you put this app into the iPad, this is what it does. They sell benefits. So if you like the benefits of an iPad, which, by the way, an iPad 2 is a two-way video chat device, a recording studio, a video editing studio, a book reader, a book writer, a word processor, a presentation giver. It replaces your PowerPoint or Keynote. It does a million things. It's the Swiss Army knife of getting through our digital world. That cannot be compared to a Kindle, which is optimized and specialized for reading. Also, a full boat iPad 2 is $829 and 25 bucks a month, and a full boat, everything on it, Kindle in the 6x9 size, is $189. Apples, oranges. Have them both. They both have a purpose.
There you go. And we're going to have to leave it there. We've been talking to Shelley Palmer, who is the host of NBC Universal's Live Digital and now author of the book, Overcoming the Digital Divide. Shelley, you've given us so much information. If people want to learn more about you, learn more about the services that you offer, read about you, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
It's only one place. My name, ShelleyPalmer.com. No extra E. ShelleyPalmer.com, throw it into Google, just type in ShelleyPalmer.com, you'll get everything you need, and run to Amazon right now, buy my book.
There you go. Shameless plug, and we love shameless plugs here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. Shelley, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest. We'll talk to you down the road.
Look forward to it. Take care.
Take care.